It's hard to believe that that song we just sang, Shout to the Lord, is 20 years old. It's like I remember when we first started singing it and learning it. And we had a men's traveling choir once up in Vermont. They were called the 21 Singing Men from Texas, a Southern Baptist group. All of them were worship leaders. And they sang that a medley with that song in it. And just every time we sing it, now I hear them in my head, you know. I'm singing with them. Oh, I have such a great, great voice. And it's just an amazing song. And especially the way that they did it. All right, this morning we are at the end of our series that we've entitled Serve. And it is really important this morning. And so I'd like you to take your Bibles and open them to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And today is a very, very specific morning. And we're going to present to you the opportunities that God has for all of us. And at the same time, before we get right down to that, before Mike comes up, Mike and I are actually going to share the pulpit this morning. I'm going to take us through a passage and look at some very specific verses in Romans chapter 12. And our Paul's letter to the Romans follows his normal pattern. You know, he begins the first 8 chapters with doctrine, teaching. Then chapters 9, 10, 11 are sort of a parenthesis addressed to the Jewish believers. But then chapter 12 to the end are practical application of what he has taught them in the earlier chapters. And we're going to begin right in chapter 12, verse 1, because our one thing today is this. Every believer is part of the body of Christ. That has been the overarching theme of every study we've done for the last 5 weeks, today being the 6th. And it has been, we've looked at it from different angles and looked at it from different perspectives. And the important part is that every believer is part of the body of Christ. And so in the first 2 verses, the Apostle Paul begins here in chapter 12 with our responsibility, and then our responsibility toward God, and then he transitions to our responsibility toward everyone else. And I'm hoping that we will stress to you this one thing in different ways throughout the morning. Now, let me read verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New American Standard, so if your translation is a little different, it'll be worded a little differently now, and you don't have it in front of you up here this morning. You're going to need your Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, it would be enjoyable for me to spend the next couple of weeks on those 2 verses. There is just so much there, but we're not going to do that. We're going to take about 5 minutes on it this morning and just draw out some very important thoughts. The word body, or bodies in the plural in verse 1, refers to just more than your physical body. It's not referring to just the your hands and feet and all of that that is part of you. It is really reminiscent of the Old Testament sacrifice. And the Old Testament sacrifice was the entire totality, life, activity, and body of the victim. When they brought that lamb to the altar, that lamb was offering its body. But that lamb was offering more than just its body. It was offering its entire being, everything about it, when it was laid on that sacrificial altar. Now, we are a living sacrifice. So in contrast to that Old Testament sacrifice, we're a living sacrifice. And as such, that offering is holy. That is, it is set apart to God. It is unique to God, given to God, pleasing to God. And so when I give my body as a living and holy sacrifice to God, there is to be something transformative in the way that I live. If I say, Lord, I give you my body as a living sacrifice, and I continue down the same path that I've walked on for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, and there is no transformation in my life, then it is not a sacrifice. It's not a living sacrifice. Now, from the positive aspect, it is said in verse 2 that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the negative aspect of it is that we are not to be conformed to the world. That's that transformation that takes place. I offer myself as a living sacrifice. It is my entire being. And that is represented and lived out in the fact that I will not be conformed to this world, and I will be transformed in the way that I think. Our mind is the center of our attitudes and our thoughts and our feelings and our actions. It's that part of us that absolutely impacts every single facet of our being. So in verse 3, it says we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And the flip side is we're not supposed to think more lower of ourselves either. We're to have a just view of ourselves. I am simply one member of the body of Christ. One. But there are many members. So our one thing is, everyone in Christ is a member of the body of Christ. But our function in that body is to serve the body. Now listen to this next sentence. We are not in the body to be served. We are in the body to serve. Now, as I serve, God is gracious and I am served. But if I am in the body and I think everything is about me, I will be woefully disappointed in the body of Christ. It's not about me. The reality is, it's not about you. It's not about any of you. See, your purpose in the body is to serve the body, not to be served. And it is so contrary to our American culture where everything is about me. The old McDonald's thing, you deserve a break today. Well, in the body of Christ, you don't. It's as simple as that. Now, let's go on to verses 3 through 8. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. Now he's talking about this physical body that we have. He's using it as an illustration. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now I know that all of you have heard this, forever. And you understand what it's saying. It's saying that all of us here are a microcosm of the greater body of Christ. And as such, all of us are members of the same body. Now, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, as you look at those seven gifts there, and if you have ever studied Romans at all, Romans chapter 12, you've taken the time to examine the verses and dig out some commentaries and look at it, it is really not as easy as you might think to decipher exactly how these gifts come together. Years ago, Bill Gothard, in his Basic Youth Conflicts, presented, and have any of you been to Bill Gothard's Basic Youth Conflicts? Oh, not many of you. All right. Well, those of you that were, you'll remember this. He presented it in like 15 years, but he presents it, these seven gifts, as being the motivation, the fundamental motivation through which you do whatever it is you do. And you'll understand what I mean in a minute as I go through this. It's that underlying motivation, and no matter what you do in your life, that gift that God has given to you is that motivating factor that influences the way that you function doing whatever it is that you do. So if your gift is mercy, for example, then that the driving factor that will be there, whether you are working with children, whether you're working with teens, whether you're teaching a Bible class, whether you're leading a life group, whether you're teaching a Sunday morning class, that underlying motivation of mercy is going to be there in the way that you exercise whatever ministry you do. It doesn't make any difference what it is that you're doing. And so let me go through these very quickly. There's seven of them. The first one is prophecy. And this is not my material. I've already told you where it comes from. I couldn't find it. I mean, I couldn't actually find the material. So this is from my memory of the material. And it's like 15 years ago. And it's very brief. So don't worry. You're not going to get a long, in-depth thing. But prophecy, the motivation of prophecy is to correct an unbiblical action by presenting the truth. Remember the Old Testament prophet? They would say things like, "Thus says the Lord." They were the mouthpiece. They were the herald of the Word of God. They carried the oracle of God's Word. And we often think of prophecy as the one that God gives a vision to and he explains what's going to happen. Well, that's part of it. But really, the prophet is the one that just pronounces the Word of God, that gives out the Word of God. Usually, a person with this gift of prophecy is a black and white type person. It's either right or wrong. And, you know, I am going to correct the wrong and let the chips fall where they may. And it's a black and white type person. Now, you all know people that are that way. They don't see shades of gray. It's either right or wrong. I mean, my former associate pastor up in Vermont was black and white. The guy couldn't see gray anywhere. Now, having to work with me, he got tempered over the years. And he sees a little bit more gray today. But, when we first started working together, I mean, it was for him, it was cut and dry. There was just no give or take on anything. All right, the service, then, is the second one. And the motivation there is to demonstrate love by giving oneself to meet a personal need. To demonstrate love by giving oneself to meet a personal need. So this person is going to go out of their way to meet a need of somebody else. So if you're a teacher and some student in your group has this personal need, you, because of this gift of service, you're going to try to come to this person to meet that need. That's going to be that underlying, that motivating factor there. I will make my needs subservient to the needs of somebody else. Teaching. And that motivation is to know the why of something. Why? And then clarify it. The person this type of person loves to research what's going on. They love to research their teaching. Those with this motivation can easily spend their time trying to understand what the why of whatever is in front of them. That's their motivation. So if they're in a Bible class, they're going to get, you know, possibly, like I do, wound up in the minutiae, the details, and not see the big picture. But they will want to explain the why they're in the situation that they're in with hopes of correcting it or making changes. Exhortation. Exhortation is the motivation is to stimulate the faith of others so that they will correct their future actions. This is one of my favorite Greek words. I don't know why. It's the word paraklesis or parakaleo. And it is just one of those words that as you begin to see how it is used in Scripture, it can be translated exhort, admonish, beseech, encourage, entreat, console, comfort. So, I mean, it is one of those words that the context sort of determines how it is going to be used. But it's an amazing word. And the person that has this gift of exhortation is going to seek to motivate anybody in their group or whatever they're doing to greater faith and helping them to correct anything that's unbiblical in their actions and the way that they're living. And you can pretty easily see how that exhortative type of person, how they would use that gift no matter where they are. Whether they're working with the little children or whether they're greeting people at the front door or whatever. And then leadership or administration, some Bibles have. And the motivation there is to help achieve a common goal by coordinating activities. And this person's motivation is seen most often by making sure that things are coordinated and they run smoothly. They have this uncanny ability to make harmony out of chaos. And no matter where they are serving, things tend to run more smoothly because they can see all these little details and bring them into some sort of order. Now, when I've taken all these tests that they have about spiritual gifts, I tend to be there, an administrator type person. And yet I look at my perception of myself, and I don't see that. My desk is always a mess. Everything is, nothing is put away. I go into Mike's room. His desk is always neat and clean. Maybe because he's not doing anything. But, I mean, his desk is always neat and clean. And so I go back to my office. I feel guilty. You know, but the reality is, when I take these tests, that's what I tend to be, is somebody that can bring order out of chaos. But I usually bring chaos to stuff. And finally, the last one, the mercy one. And that is identifying with those in distress in order to bring comfort. You know, I think there's actually a lot of people that God gives the gift of service to and the gift of mercy to. Because that's the greatest need. How many administrative type people do you need? You don't need very many. But how many people with that gift of mercy do you need? And so that person, if that is their motivating, they want to bring comfort to those that are hurting. And so no matter where they are serving, there's hurting people. And that gift comes through in the way that they serve. So in viewing these gifts as motivation, that which sort of pushes you as you serve, it doesn't make any difference where you plant yourself. That gift is going to reveal itself in the way that you are ministering. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a whole other list of gifts. And those are generally understood as specific ways the Holy Spirit will manifest that your gifting. And we're not going to talk about that this morning. But it's different than Romans chapter 12. Now, Mike found this interesting video. It's from another church. It's not our church. And that will be evident in one slide in particular, one scene in particular. But we want to sort of transition to him by watching this video. So enjoy it. Thank you.
just want to begin by affirming one thing, that working with Pastor Terry is like working with organized chaos. So I affirm everything he just said. But this morning, I'd like to spend a few minutes wowing you this morning. And by wow, I'm not suggesting that I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. I'm not suggesting that I'm going to do any kind of crazy trick or stunt. I'm not actually trying to amaze you at all. All I'm trying to do this morning is I want you to leave here being wowed. And but at the same time, I'm not even suggesting that I want you to be wowed in the sense that we all think wow is. Let me explain. Over the course of the week, I came across an acronym for WOW that really tied together, I think, everything that we're trying to communicate as leadership to this church body. WOW. And I want to be, and so it's just three letters that mean a whole bunch of great stuff. And I want to start with that first W in WOW because it's three different questions. And here's the first one, okay? I'm just going to go right into it. Who are you? Who are you? And when I talk about wow, I'm talking about you, and I'm not just you as the church, I'm talking about you specifically, who are you? You see, because in Psalm 139, it states that God specifically knitted together you, specifically you, he knit you together in your mother's womb, and you specifically are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You. Now, I'm not saying the church as a whole. I'm saying you individually. God worked on you while you were in your mother's womb. I love that verse. And his works are wonderful. And they're full well. And then it says in Jeremiah 29:11, God goes a step farther. In Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." So not only was he busy knitting you together in your mother's womb, but as he's knitting you together, he has a plan for you as well. And he's just kind of setting that into motion as he starts knitting you together in your mother's womb. You see, God was personally involved in your creation and my creation. And church, don't blow that off. I want you to meditate on that for a second. God, the God of the universe, who created this pale blue dot that we live on called the earth, that we have a chance to breathe in every day. We didn't choose to be born. We were born. Like, we didn't have a choice in the matter. We just came. But what happened was we were inside our mother's womb, and God, the God of the universe, was knitting us together. No one here in this room can ever say they've never had an encounter with God before, because every single one of us had an encounter with the great physician. He knit us together. Just let that sink in for a second. So therefore, if God, the God of the universe, knit you specifically together in your mother's womb, don't you think there's got to be a good reason for it? Because if a God who didn't care about us, who wanted nothing to do with his creation, just said, "Hey, I'm just going to let earth kind of happen and people could just have babies and they could figure stuff out and I'm going to remove myself," that's not what we're told in Psalm 139. We're told that God knit us together in our mother's womb. And that just blows me away. See, each one of us was created by God for a specific purpose that he has for our lives. You know, in coming up in July is my birthday, and I'm going to be turning the big 30. 30. I'm an old man. Don't get old, church. And every year for my birthday, my wife asks me one question. What kind of cake do you want? See, it's the one day a year where I get to pick. My day, it's my cake. If I want anchovies on my cake, no, she probably would put the kibosh on that. But I get to pick my cake. I get to one layer, two layers, three layers, square, round, ice cream, no ice cream. And then I get to pick what completes the cake, the icing on the cake. Because we all know a cake is not complete without the icing. And if you're like one of those people that, "No, I'm health conscious and I don't really believe in icing," then I don't know what's wrong with you, because icing completes the cake. It always does 100% of the time. You could eat incomplete cake as much as you want, but the icing is what completes it. Okay? So when God created you and I, he wasn't simply content with the type of flavor we were or how many layers we had. He wanted a finished product. So he put the icing on the cake. And when we talk about icing, we're talking about that O in wow, that second question. And that's what. And here's what it is. What do you love to do? What do you love to do? Because you see, what completes each one of us, the icing on the cake, is the specific desires or gifts that God has given to each one of us. Pastor Terry just got done talking about a few of those. Every one of us possesses a sense of zeal or excitement for something. We all do. So what is it that makes you tick? What is it that you love to do? And more specifically, because you're all in church today, what excites you in the church? Do you love meeting new people? You just go crazy, just walking out like, man, I just want to meet people because I'm a people person. Do you love meeting new people? Do you love seeing people come to faith in Jesus? I sure hope so. We should all love that one. Do you love it when you see children make godly choices? Do you love to sing or play music? Do you love to teach? Do you love to encourage people by words or actions? Do you love giving to those in need? Do you love hosting people at your home? Do you love teenagers? Do you love praying for the body? Do you love caring for the elderly? Do you love caring for babies? Do you love being a mentor? Do you love being a friend? See, there's a lot. I know I'm reading that list and you guys are like, yeah, that's me. I love that. And I think when we look at this love list, I mean, maybe not all of us love all these things. I think general consensus, we all kind of like them all. I mean, we like what we see here. We may not love it, but we like it. But I think of my own self, because God has given each one of us specific love or even a really intense like for certain things. For me, I started thinking, I love to preach the gospel. Love it. Love preaching the gospel. I love seeing people come to faith in Christ. I love working with teenagers. Those are just a few things. I like pretty much everything I just read. Those are some of the few things that I know came right off the bat. Man, I love doing that. It excites me. It makes me tick. So what is it that you love to do? That's all I'm asking. What is it? How has God wired you when he was knitting you together? What love DNA did he put into you? What is it that you love to do? How has God gifted you? What in this list that I just read got you excited, made you wake up? You know, ooh, serving? Ooh, teenagers? Ooh, prayer? Like, what did I say kind of woke you up this morning? What do you love to do? Because everybody has an area. And once you've determined it, that brings us to the last W in our wow this morning. Are you willing to serve in the area that you love, or have a really intense like for, or even just kind of a like for, or even a dislike for? No, we don't want you serving in an area that you dislike. But are you willing to serve in an area that you love? In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, as he said, 'It is more blessed to give than it is to receive.'" See, church, when God creates a cake, he mixes the ingredients just right. He bakes it just perfect. He gives it some time to cool down. And then he adds the final touches on it, the icing on the cake. The things that wire us, the things that complete us as human beings, the things that we love to do. But we all know, when the cake has icing on it, it ain't done yet, is it? Because nobody in this room, unless there's some issues, bakes a cake for themselves, right? Nobody's going to bake a cake for themselves. I'm just going to sit here and eat this entire cake myself. If you do, we'll develop a ministry for you here to help you out, okay? A completed cake, a cake in its fullest, most complete form is what? It's given out, right? It's passed out. It's served. I mean, none of us could consume a full cake by ourselves. Maybe we can. I cannot consume an entire cake by myself. If you can, more power to you. We'll have some kind of competition some Sunday morning. But see, the same is true with how God gifts us. In its most completed form, it's great that God gave us many layers. It's great that God created us in a certain way. It's great that he completed us and wired us in a particular fashion, but it means absolutely nothing unless we give it out, unless we share it out with others. It literally means nothing. to keep it for yourself is a waste of time and a waste of life. We're meant to give and serve. It can be said like this, and this is a hard statement, but it's true. We, the people of God, are not meant to be pew sitters. We're meant to be people servers. That's what we're meant to be. And if I could just be totally transparent with you this morning, I'm just going to be, I just want to be real with you because it's so important. Because this is a church body that we all got to just need to know where we're at here. Your church body, the one that you love, the one that you've grown into, that you've raised your family in, the one where you've been attending for many, many years, or perhaps you've only been attending for a few months. Your church body, Grace Bible Church, is in need. And quite honestly, it's in some cases, in some areas, it's beyond a need. It's more crisis mode. And while we praise God for the many people who use their gifts week in and week out to serve in this church, and there are many, we've acknowledged you a few weeks back, there are many, there are still needs that need to be fulfilled. And in a church our size, with the kind of love that I know this church body has, because you literally feel it when you come in the door, the love of this church body, there's no reason that we cannot meet the needs that we have as a church. And I want to begin by highlighting and spotlighting one particular area that I know is in crisis mode right now. Because not all areas are, church. We're actually doing good in a lot of areas, but there's one in particular and is by far our most important area that we have as a church that is in crisis mode right now. And that's our kiddos. That's our little children. Quite frankly, there's a good chance that this summer, my little ones, because I've got little kiddos, as well as yours, will not have somewhere to go to on Sunday morning. The lights are going to simply be turned off, and all the kids will be in here, and that'll be fun. Melanie Schultz, our children's ministry director, has done an insanely awesome job with the children's ministry. I mean, she has created a vibrant, growing, awesome program that's reaching both churched and unchurched kids. And we just got to, like, love on her because she did an awesome job with her time here. Wherever she is, I don't know where she is. She's probably back serving somewhere. I don't know where she is. She's here, though. Great job. I mean, it's been such a joy to work side by side with her over this past year. And we thank her because it's not always easy. She's worked extremely hard for this church body. And she deserves a lot of encouragement and thank yous because she's not going to be here much longer. She's moving off to one of those K states, Kentucky or Kansas? Kentucky. We're going to miss her. But as you see her, you make sure you thank her because the hours and above hours of work that she's put in, you can't even count them. She's worked super hard. And it's not always easy because I've sat back and I've observed and we hear her in staff prayer and things like that. And a lot of times, but really mostly over the past 2 or 3 months, she's been kind of like Noah. You all know Noah, right? He's the one who built the ark. Where when Noah was not building the ark, he was preaching to the people, telling them to get on the boat. You know, to repent and get on the boat. And if you know anything about the story of Noah, pretty much no one listened to him. And Melanie, she's experienced over the past few months of just asking people for just limited time just to help with certain areas of the children's ministry. And it's just been like Noah. No, 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 don't have the time, too busy, can't do it, whatever, whatever, whatever. And that's got to be hard and that's got to be frustrating. But what's even more heartbreaking to me is that we're letting down the little ones that need us the most, our little kids. Yeah, they're crazy, and sometimes they don't listen. Maybe a lot of times they don't listen, and they bounce off the walls. But you know what? They do come home. And we ask them, hey, what'd you learn in class? And you know what? In the midst of working through the silly stuff, they actually did. They do learn stuff, and they grow, you know, in the ministries that we have here. But I think of the verse, the haunting verse of Judges chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done. In church, we are living in a generation that is being raised by a culture that does not know the Lord. And we could expect that from the culture, but from our churches? No. No, we got to battle that. You know, I think of, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Sometimes I think of the pattern of our country, where it's just keep yourself constantly busy all the time. Always doing stuff. Always involved with something. Don't stop ever. And I started reflecting on that a little bit, and I'm like, you know what? I think a lot of churches, I'm not bashing on us, because like I said, there's a lot of great ministries that are happening here. There are some needs, though, is that we get so consumed. I started thinking about this. The problem is none of us are too busy. Or I should say, busyness is not the problem. I was thinking about this. Busyness is not the problem. The problem is we're all too busy investing our time in things that have absolutely no eternal value or significance whatsoever. And because we're so busy doing that, we're sacrificing the things that have eternal value and significance. In the church, should it not be the other way around? I think it brings a new definition to not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Because the pattern of this world is do everything you can to avoid investing in eternity. And none of us are doing that, obviously, on purpose. But in some cases and in some ministries here, it's happening. Not because any of us want it to. It's just happening because we're just so busy and we don't have the time. We don't have the time. We don't have the time. But then I started thinking, you know what separates serving the body of Christ from everything else, as we've learned over this series, and through the testimonies that we've heard from so many great people in this church, is that each one of us can play a vital role in building the kingdom of God. And I go back to Veronica Price when she gave her testimony. It was a pen that changed her life for eternity, essentially. It was a pen. A pen that had Grace Bible Church's name and number on it that somebody at the Welcome Center had given her, and her life changed for eternity. So you never know. See, isn't that more important than just kind of investing in something that is for the here and now and it goes away? You know, God's really been laying on my heart, man. We are so small on this little tiny dot called Earth, but God cares so much about us that He knit us together in our mother's womb for a very specific purpose and plan, that He wants to use us to glorify Him as we live this super short life. We're not guaranteed today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed to grow old. This super short life, and what are we doing with it? How are we investing our time? And guilty as charged. I mean, man, there's times where I'm like, I could be doing other things. Could ask Carrie, I've been driving her nuts this week, saying, Carrie, you know, like, I gotta be doing more, like, for God, like, she's like, Mike, get a grip, you're doing stuff, but I'm like, this life is so short, guys. I don't know about you, Ani, well done, good and faithful servant. People out there are dying, our church, there are needs within this church body that any one of us could fill. There's so many people here, and then we're missing a bunch of people today. So we actually have a pretty big church body, 300 to 350 people. And the ministries that we offer, we should be filling those gaps and then have an overflow. All we're asking is, are you willing to serve in an area that you love or like? If you love meeting new people, then put that love into action by being a greeter or an usher or a parking attendee or serving in the hub. If you love having people in your homes or being a leader, then put that love into action. Become a life group leader. If you love the little ones, mothering them, caring for them, then put that love into action and become a nursery volunteer. And by the way, I got to just comment on that quick. I am so thankful for those that are in this room that work with my kids. You know, Kylie, 5, and Chase, 3, and little Colton. We call him Coltrane. Sometimes he's a train wreck, but Coltrane. In the nursery, I'm so thankful for you that you give your time to minister to my kids so that I could be up here and so that Carrie could get fruit and knowledge from God's word as well. So thankful. And I know every single parent in this room agrees with me that we are so thankful for those that serve our kids. So thank you. Thank you. It means a lot. If you love music or sound or technology, then put that love into action by joining the worship sound team, tech team. I mean, the list can go on and on. There's plenty of areas of need in our church that you could fill. So I want to close with this. This is the point. Who are you? Who are you? You are knit together by God in your mother's womb. What is it that you love to do? God has a specific plan and purpose for your life. And are you willing to serve in the area that you love? I've been here long enough. to know that there's one thing that this church body does not lack, and that is love. The love that Carrie and I have felt in being here has been overwhelming. We know that I mean, honestly, well before I was even, like, considering ministry, Carrie and I just came here when we were dating. Some people remember. I think Mr. Mead remembers. He's always busting me on that. He remembers that. We used to sit way in the back in the desert lands back there. And But what kept us coming back here? It felt like family. There was a love here that we couldn't shake. We were church hopping. We were young. But this is where we settled well before we were even considered ministry, because we loved it. And we loved the love that we felt. And I think over the years, the love has gotten stronger. I really do. Actually, it's definitely gotten stronger. And just like a cake, there's plenty of love to go around, right? So all we're asking is, would you do your part this morning and sign up and serve? I'm going to pray, and then Terry's going to close us out. Father God, I thank you for this morning. Lord, there's always needs to be filled. God, and as Pastor just preached a few moments ago, that we as a church body are called to serve, not to be served. And it's through our service that we be served. Lord, I thank you for the great people that are here and all the time that they invest. And there's a lot of time being invested here. There's so many things that happen on a week that many of us will never know about, but that it's just adding to the kingdom. So we thank you for it. And God, as we look at the areas that we need filled, the gaps, I pray, Lord, that you would move in people's hearts this morning to say, you know what, yes, God, I don't know what it looks like. I'm even kind of scared to try, but I'm going to serve because I know that's what I need to do. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move, that we would fill all the gaps this morning, and we can move forward knowing that we are raising a generation that knows the Lord and his ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
End this morning, and in your bulletin today, you have a whole packet. And what we are going to do is that organization out of chaos thing is not ask people to sign on to something until the rapture. We're going to institute where a person would sign on to an area of ministry for a year. And that year is going to be September to August. Because our school year, that's the church ministry year. Here it is, May. All right, it's only May. During the summer, at the 9 o'clock hour, which is Sunday morning, we don't have Sunday school or Bible classes during the summer. We will have volunteer training during the summer. And it will be announced way ahead of time what group we're going to meet with at 9 o'clock on a particular Sunday. So all summer long, the hub will be open at 9. You can come in for fellowship and coffee, and we might get a cookie in there or something. But then we will have volunteer training. It'll probably be in the teen room. And your sheets, now this is an ingenious idea. You notice they were on different color? They're color coordinated. This is the goldenrod sheet. It deals with the children, the little children. And like Mike mentioned, that is an area that is in real serious need. And we would like everybody, actually we're going to lock the doors. And there's two things that we are in very serious need. Everybody needs to sign, even if you're involved in nursery or wherever it is you're involved, you're going to need to sign up again. And these are for you to take with you. And there is the nursery volunteer at the beginning and the nursery coordinator at the end. And the nursery coordinator is a position that is really very, very important. We need a woman that has some organizational ability to take that responsibility. And you need to be a member of the church. Not all of you should be members anyway. And then the others are there. And you see at the top of the page, it says like the first one, Grace Bible Church Nursery Volunteer. It is for the infant and toddler care. The next one is Children's Ministry. It is for the Sunday Bible class, the 9 o'clock hour, the Children's Church, the 9 o'clock hour, little kids, Kids Alive, and Kids Connect, and so forth. So, I mean, they're generic enough that they can serve for a broad thing. And so there will be people up here to answer questions. Come up, you can sign up for more than one thing. You can sign up saying, I want information. If you already know that, boy, I am going to be a volunteer, nursery volunteer, I'm going to work with children, and you haven't had a background check, we have the forms here for you to sign up. What else am I supposed to say, Mike? Parents with children, those of you that have kids and the Kids Alive, we're going to give you preference. If you come up and you've got kids, you get to go to the head of the line. You get to bypass everybody and come up front and talk first because we want you to be able to go get your kids so that the volunteers that are back there aren't stuck. Let's pray. And we're going to end not even with a song today. We're going to play a song while all of you in throngs come forward. What'd you say? Oh, those of you that are at the tables, if you would come up while I'm praying. We'll let you move while I pray. Okay. Father, we want to thank you for this morning, for the opportunity to just acknowledge that you are God and we are your servants. And Lord, as we think about the year, the new year, which is, you know, a couple of months away, we would like to have everything prepared and ready to start on the very first Sunday of the autumn. And we thank you for all the work that's been done through this past year. And we know that as we come into the summer, there will be different things going on during the summer. But it's a little bit slower, and as people have vacation time and everything, Father, we want to just prepare everything for the kickoff in the fall. And we pray that you would, even as I'm praying, as Mike shared, you know, just move in the hearts of people to look at that area that they enjoy and be willing to serve. And we know that we need to serve in more than one facets. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.